We rise for the Pledge of Allegiance and then followed by the invocation. If you are uncomfortable with either one and wish to step out, please feel free to do, and Captain Payne will retrieve you and bring you back in once we move on. So for everybody, we rise. Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Father God, Almighty God, God of heaven, God of earth, God of grace, God of mercy, our God, the only true and living God, we thank you for never leaving us or forsaking us. We thank you for blessing us with fresh grace and mercy every morning. We thank you, Father God, for just constantly watching over each and every one of us, watching over our families, watching over this entire town. Father God, at this time we ask you to take control of this meeting and see that we all carry ourselves in a manner that will bring praise and glory to you. See that we make decisions that are best for this town. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, before we move on, this is primarily for council. At our retreat a couple weeks ago, it was brought up that some council members would like to figure out a way to have a more vibrant conversation and discussions about items. So what I've decided is how we're going to do this. This is one way to do it with Robert's Rules, is that when we bring up, and like the our run-through is going to be the resolution for WA, after we get a motion and a second, the person that had the motion gets the first opportunity to talk. The person that has the second gets the next opportunity to talk. At which time, if any council member wishes to talk, you have to be granted permission. So you ask me permission to speak, and then I will grant you, and then you speak. Then if it gets out of hand, then I will shut it down and we will go on for it. But, okay? All right. With that in mind, we have Mr. Thompson had suggested at the last meeting a resolution honoring longtime business owner W.A. Ogden. We have a resolution for him, so this time I would like to entertain a motion from council to accept this resolution and present it to the family.
I make a motion.
So a motion from Mr. Thompson. May I have a second? Second from Mr. Higginbotham. Okay, new way. Mr. Thompson, would you like to discuss this?
Yes.
Mr. Higginbotham, any members of council? Not being that, we will vote. Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Motion is carried 500 for the resolution for W.A. Ogden. Thank you. And it will be sent to his family.
Do we have a couple members of the family?
Oh, we do? I'm sorry, it was my fault. Where are we at? Okay. They didn't give me that little hey until. Doug, since you, if you would like to, you're the one that brought up the idea and have it done. If you would like to present it.
Well, this is, it's a Cookie Ogden and Paul as a brother.
Okay, well, I've single, I just didn't, I apologize.
It's okay. Please. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's a privilege. And we just wanted to recognize W.A. for all he did for the town, both in the public service and in his private service for his business. He's no better friend, no better citizen. And we really miss him and praying for you guys. And thank you for sharing him with us for those many years. And this is a small token of our esteem for what he meant to us.
Thank you. accept my apology. All right. Next on the agenda. Chief, it is your floor for Officer of the Year.
Good evening, everybody. See everyone here this evening. Members of Council, Mr. Mayor, Mr. McGuffin. Thank y'all for being here. This is our time of the year. Normally, we're about a month behind, but due to getting stuff ordered. But it's time to recognize three officers from our department for some achievements this past year that we don't take lightly. They're very serious awards. One is our MAD award. That's awarded from MAD every year to one of our officers for their DUI enforcement. One's going to be for achievement and Officer of the Year. Is Officer Robinson out there in the hallway?
Yes.
Hey.
Everyone, this is Officer Robinson. He has been at this department for as long as I have, just a little bit longer than I have. He is he's a top-notch gentleman. He has been a solid piece to our department, traffic enforcement. He's been honored. We've got a plaque in our lobby over there that has each year since I've been here, and I tried to trace it back as far as I could for this award. And he has been on that plaque every single time. His DUI enforcement, and he's got an act for it. He's good for it. And we just appreciate you for helping us keep our streets safe. And job well done, sir.
Thank you, Chief. Yes, sir.
We gotta get pictures for accreditation.
It's their favorite part.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you. Appreciate you, man. Second of all, I came up with this award a couple of years ago, trying to think of something that to show appreciation for an officer for going above and beyond and actually coming up with something that contributes to the department and the whole making things better, making things safer for our community. And so I watch and I allow these guys to bring ideas to me because I can't think of everything. He can't think of everything. But we look really hard and these guys bring good ideas to us and we entertain them. So last year we had an officer come to me with a monumental task of getting our first canine for our town. You brought the idea to me. I said, hey, man, I love it. Let's do the work on it. It's your job. Bring it to me. Show me what we got, what we can do, and I'll take it to the powers to be. Did an outstanding job. He got everything together. We presented to council. Council so approved. We get the dog and send him off to school. Becomes top of the class. So it was quite an honor. He was going to this school thinking I'm going to probably be the guinea pig here, and I'm going to be getting all the attention. And ended up being one of the top officers and dog in that class. So he is nationally certified, and he's doing a fantastic job for us. He's had several cases so far, and I can't be more proud of this gentleman, this officer. For everything he's done, the talents he's brought to the department. He's a sharp individual. He's got a huge future ahead of him. Come on in here, Officer Rose. And we also got Scott in the house. This award is for you, sir, for all your dedication and hard work and making this program happen. Yes, sir. Thank you.
No dog eat
this. Thanks, sir. Appreciate all your hard work.
Appreciate it.
Hey, girl. So you want to say something about how you finished with how the dog finished? And you got a minute? Second? We've got a big house tonight.
No, I appreciate it. First thing I would start by saying is I don't think I did anything special. It really took a team effort. I can give you a million reasons why every one of these guys on this department deserved that award this year. They all strive hard. They work with me. Can't tell you how many times, even after school, they will still come out and make tracks for me and Sky, help us out with our training. But, yeah, Chief is exactly right. I was shocked. Our master trainer was shocked. We basically took a mutt, half Blue Hill, half Shepherd, and she outshined all of the other patrol dogs at the school. We finished the school at the top of the class. Not only that, but just at training yesterday and today, we proved that Scott is the best tracker out of all 9 dogs between Amherst County, Lynchburg, and the town of Amherst, which says a lot, being that she's only 13 months old now, and most of the time we only start dogs for 2 years old. So we really appreciate you all for giving us this opportunity, and we promise you we're going to continue to do the best we can for this town.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you. All right, so last but not least, when I came here, you know, I really wanted to show these guys that, you know, I believed in them, and we had goals to set forth, and we wanted to move this department forward. And that's all we've done. I can't take all the credit here, because it takes everybody in this department to buy in and to be committed. We changed it up last year where we allowed the department to vote on this award, not just coming from the captain and myself. So we, as you know, I felt like, you know, everybody ought to have a little piece in it. There's a lot of things sometimes I don't get to see what goes on, and, you know, I hear about it, but I don't get to see it. These guys do. You know, they work with each other every single day. The guy that, the officer that was picked this year, he's been a solid piece to this department since I got here. He's been honest. He's got integrity. He's committed. We all have these moments in time where we second guess ourselves about what we're doing, why we're doing it, but deep down, each one of us in this office has a commitment to the community, to this department. And this guy has done so much for our department. He is a solid piece. He's used on policy. He's always going to come forth with an idea. He's going to ask you why, which is good, because you want that transparency. And he has been a solid piece. I think the captain can tell you too. We can go to him if we need something. He's going to chime right up. He's going to be available. So this year, with the votes that came in and with my approval, the officer of the year is Investigator Ryan Watts. Chief Watts is here, so if you would like to get a picture with your dad up here, I would surely. I was only allowed.
Who might break the camera?
But we thank you for being here, sir, and continue the legacy. Everybody being here, and we appreciate everybody's support. Thank y'all so much.
Thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
All right, next time, Jamil, representative from the Sheriff's Department here. Chief, can you check outside and see if there's a representative from the Sheriff's Department?
Yes. Is anybody here from the Sheriff's Department?
No.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right, next item is going to be a public hearing on the short-term rental request. Captain,
sir,
can you bring me the public hearing sign sheet, please, sir? And when you come up to speak, if you're speaking as an individual, you have 3 minutes. So at 3 minutes, I will cut you off at 3 minutes. If you're speaking on behalf of a group, you get five. But that means you need to let us know who your group is, because nobody else in your group will get to talk. You'll be the spokesman or spokesperson for one person, I mean for the whole group, okay?
You need a clock.
Yeah, I need a clock.
I'll just need to put it somewhere where I can see it. Or I can just say, but yeah, I can do it.
And also, when you come up to speak, if you would let us know if you are a town resident, a business owner in town, and your address. Okay? So we will start. One other thing, I got three sheets here with names on it. So, four sheets. No, you're. Tim Ware's here for citizens' comments. He's over here. But I got three sheets, so if I miss any of you by going down this list, Ford Jim, please go, yo, Mayor, all right? So I can call you and get you. All right, and if I mess your name up, I would while I'm trying to figure this out. Yes, ma'am, please.
All right, so before you tonight, Council, is a request for a short-term rental in a residential district. Currently, our ordinance does not allow short-term rentals in residential districts under any circumstances. In the business districts, we allow short-term rentals, which is a rental of 30 days or less, in the business districts with a special use permit. So they still require an additional approval. We do not have any location where short-term rentals are permitted or by right uses. So the three hearings you have before you tonight is the first one would be a change in the ordinance that would allow short-term rentals in the R1 and R2 district with a special use permit. So there would still be a zoning approval that would need to occur if that were approved. It does not make them by right. There would still be the opportunity for you to consider each individual case, whether it is appropriate in that location, and whether there would need to be any conditions that would make it work better in that neighborhood. The second two public hearings are for a specific short-term rental, so 117 Pine Street. Because you do not have the provision in your ordinance currently to allow short-term rentals in a residential district, my advice to the applicant, the only way they had to move forward was to request rezoning to a business district. They've made the request for the lightest business district. They have stated that they are willing to proffer out any other uses because the only thing they want to do is a short-term rental. If the council were to approve the change in the ordinance that opened up the possibility in the residential district, they're going to withdraw that business district request because their goal is to get to this short-term rental. And then finally, the special use permit. Staff is requesting, Mrs. Kemp and I have spent a fair amount of time talking about just the mechanics and the logistics because you have these three items in front of you, and staff is requesting that you hold the public hearing tonight, have discussion amongst yourselves, and give staff a little bit of direction about which way you want to go, but not make a decision tonight, mostly because we don't know which direction council is going. We're really not prepared to have all the follow-up material that we would need to have to make sure that we implemented all of these things appropriately. So looking to just have that public hearing tonight, you do have the applicant here, Emily Nguyen. Ms. Nguyen, do you want to add anything? Make a statement as the applicant?
Yeah, do I do it here?
Or just stand up where you are.
Okay. So my hope for tonight is that you've all taken the time to go through the past information I've provided with my application and possibly the recent Facebook post on the Amherst Community Board that produced a lot of people, so that you're not hearing anything from a lot of the people in Amherst. With the attention this topic has gotten recently and the people here tonight, I think it shows that Amherst residents are ready for some positive changes for the town to start focusing on the future of the facility. Are any town decisions perfect for everybody? No, but if you look at small towns across the country that have decided to embrace short-term rentals, you can't deny the benefits. Tax revenue, increased traffic for small businesses, extra income for local handymen and cleaners. It brings people to Amherst instead of sending the revenue to Charlottesville and Lynchburg. It provides It improves neighborhood values by having well-maintained properties, provides visitors with a comfortable and private place to stay, especially for families. And with the special use permit, it would allow the town to create stipulations for what the Airbnb needs to do to stay in operation. Some of the ones I use are no events or parties, noise curfews, and maximum number of guests. With my application, I submitted examples of guests that I have hosted, many were sweet for your parents and employees, new families waiting to close on their Amherst home, former Amherst residents coming to visit family, and the list goes on. Most of these guests have thanked me personally for sharing that if the Airbnb hadn't been available, they would have had to stay much further short. As a talent, all I ask is to keep an open mind and not be afraid of change. Thank you.
Okay. So, anybody goes again?
Yes, sir.
All right, the first one looks like maybe the last name is Hart from 219 Galvin Avenue. Okay, yes, ma'am. What's your first name?
My first name is Ray Hart.
I thought that's what that was, but I didn't want to butcher it. I didn't want to butcher it.
I am a resident, and it's 219 Garland Avenue. I have very mixed feelings about having Airbnbs. Most streets in the town of Amherst are just dead ends. We come off the ridge and go down. There's no blocks or anything. And so it kind of breaks up the neighborhood. You go out, you talk to your neighbors with the dogs in the middle of the street. You know who's there all the time. With an Airbnb, you don't know who's next door. They come, they go, you lose your sense of community. Amherst is a small town. I mean, small town, not just a little town. And I just feel we will lose our continuity, our neighborhoods, and the closeness that we have with our different neighbors going through. Because, you know, a lot of us just can't go around the corner because there's no corner to go around. So it's just our streets. And I just feel that having an Airbnb is not a good idea. I can see it in the business district up here on Main Street. You know, you have the apartments and such above the different buildings, the dentist office and such. But in the neighborhoods, I don't feel that it's necessary. And thank you for your time.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor, just a point of clarification. There's three public hearings. Which one are we doing?
We're doing the code amendment.
Sorry.
Okay. All right. Next one, Michelle.
Crago.
I thought that's what it was. I was getting ready to butcher. Crago.
Well, I have had the pleasure of getting to manage a few Airbnbs, two homes in Nelson, and they were very successful. And we had just incredible guests that came in. And they were all family-oriented, but we had stipulations that we placed on our rentals. And no parties, and of course, you are reviewing the guests, and the guests are reviewing you. And so we kept our landscaping immaculate. We had specific designated parking, and we recommended Where's Antiques and just the local, even the Episcopal thrift shop as shopping that we would recommend for the guests. And so people loved coming and going to this small town, you know, going and supporting the local shops. So I think, and for me, I was able to stay home with my girls and do something, and now I'm able to be really invested in the public schools here. And if I had a full-time job that I was having to go during the day and work, I wouldn't have had the opportunity to serve in the community like I have. So I feel like, it's a small business that I was able to hire high schoolers and teach them how to clean, and high schoolers and teach them how to mow their yards. And so it's very local. The money that came to our household, and my husband works here locally, and so it encourages a lot of local, to stay local.
Did you represent a
company or?
Yeah, could you give me your address and your
We live outside of town. We live on Boxwood Farm Road.
Okay, 720.
Yes, we would love to invest in town if it was something we can do.
Susan?
Shoning. The J is silent.
Okay. Susan and Shoni. You knew I was going to stop.
I knew you were talking about me when you were talking about mispronouncing names. So we live back behind the library, 253 Rosecliff Court, and I just come as an individual tonight just to kind of give my viewpoints as a local business owner. I work with my husband at Swissimation, which is next to GLAD in the industrial park. And we're also considering the potential of purchasing a small home in town and working it out as a type of Airbnb setup, or maybe half an apartment for his sister who needs housing, and then maybe she could help run the Airbnb. From that standpoint, I do think that having the Airbnbs in the town would be a beneficial thing for our local economy. Some of the main things that bring people in from the outside are the local wineries, antique shopping, hopefully soon mountain biking. Those are the types of things that, you know, bring people into Amherst. And in order to encourage those things, you need places for those people to stay. So, for example, my brother recently got married in the area, and we had aunts, uncles, cousins, a whole crew come down from New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and they stayed in a bunch of different Airbnbs in the area. And there was not one negative comment from any of the family members. They all loved, you know, being able to stay in the area. A lot of them went down to Bonfire and had drinks before they went back to their places. You know, they stayed in town, which that wouldn't have happened had they had gone to Lynchburg, stayed in a hotel there. They would have been supporting all of the businesses in Lynchburg, the restaurants and gas stations and whatever else. So, I'm just coming to say I think it would be a good step towards progress for the town. I think that it would help people keep houses well maintained, because nobody's going to go stay in an Airbnb if it's run down looking. But somebody can move in next to you that doesn't keep their house well kept. So to me, it would actually be a benefit to have somebody running an Airbnb next to me, because I know they're going to keep their house looking nice. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
I'm a resident in 642 South Main Street. When you're speaking in favor of changing the zoning ordinance to include residential zone properties as eligible to apply for a special use permit for short-term rentals. Amherst is a quiet town which draws people who are looking for the bucolic charm and atmosphere that we offer. We have great restaurants, shopping, and scenery. What we are desperately lacking is options for lodging. When we arrived in Amherst 16 years ago this week, we were unfamiliar with the area. My husband had accepted a position as what is now Title 18. We needed time to learn the area in order to find suitable housing. We had to travel to Lynchburg to stay somewhere that was large enough to accommodate the family and offer a kitchen so I could prepare our meals. This meant that our food, lodging, and entertainment dollars were all spent in Lynchburg. It also made it more difficult to get a feel for Amherst while staying so far away. People travel to Amherst to enjoy our small town and enjoy the peace and quiet. Sweetbriar College, the Blue Ridge Parkway, fall festivals, and the Garlic Festival are all draws to our town. Companies, such as Title 18, have employees who need to come to work at the local office for a week or two at a time. There are so many reasons why people come to Amherst short-term. Why wouldn't we want to offer them a place to stay and spend their food, lodging, and entertainment dollars right here in town? Having residential area homes available for short-term rental is beneficial to the entire neighborhood as well, as others have said. An owned and unoccupied home is going to have a far greater chance of being neglected and appearing shabby and unkempt. Maintaining that property to appeal to short-term renters keeps things under better upkeep and appearance. Short-term renters are just that, short-term. At the worst, if they're just awful people who are disregarding rules, they are only occupying that space temporarily, and they have no rights to the property. The two arguments I have heard in opposition to allowing short-term rentals in areas zoned residential are concerned about not wanting transient people living or visiting our town, and concerns about corporations buying property in town and turning it into short-term rentals. Addressing the first concern, the type of atmosphere Amherst offers and the type of people who are drawn to that atmosphere are, in fact, the exact type of people we do want coming here. For the second concern, changing the zoning ordinance is not a blanket approval for all short-term rentals. Each property owner still needs to apply for and be approved for short-term rental use. These applications can be denied and or have limitations placed on them. From the applications I've seen, direct neighbors of any property in question will have an opportunity to speak against the application being approved. I believe that if we change the zoning ordinance to allow residential property owners to apply for short-term rentals, it will bring more revenue to the town and extend a welcome to people looking to enjoy all that Amherst has to offer.
Thank you very much. Next is Jeremiah Kirkman. Yes, sir, please.
Thank you. So my name is Jeremiah Kirkland. I represent my family. My wife's in the back. Her name is Andrea Kirkland, and our son, Clay Kirkland. We live on 146 North Main Street. We believe that a short-term rental property, such as an Airbnb, can provide a more intimate, welcoming, and a memorable experience for the town of Amherst. Not only will it attract visitors to our town, but it will also provide livelihood, such as income, for those managing the property. And that, personally, is our biggest desire with my wife being a stay-at-home mom. It gives us an opportunity to still have income with me being the only source of income. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Betsy
Elmore.
Okay, I couldn't see you. So I stopped again.
Not a problem. I'm a resident here. I live 345 North Main Street. I moved here about 5 years ago from Florida. Where I lived in Florida, we had short-term rentals on either side of us from behind us because we lived about 15 minutes from Disney World. In our town, there was no sense of community. There was no camaraderie. And my fiance, his grandparents lived here, and so we would always come and visit, and I just fell in love with the town and the charm, and I was like, I want to be part of this. I want to know my neighbors. I want to give back to a community, and I feel if you have short-term rentals, then that's just going to take away the charm that is Amherst. Thank you.
Thank you. And Meredith, you? Is that correct?
Newman?
Yes.
Yeah, Meredith. All right, I live at 332 Kenmore Road, so I'm just right outside the town. I know because I learned that's why the speed limit changes right there, so you might want to check that out. I might drive vehicles on the road, but it's only for a really short time, so false part, check the horses. What I really am interested in is speaking on a couple of points. One, the first thing is the opportunity to apply for a special use permit as a property owner. I think that that would be a really valuable thing to have that opportunity to apply, to remove that, your ability to utilize your property that you've worked really hard to purchase and then maintain. I think to have the option, and it sounds like that would be the case if this went that direction. I also hear about the community aspect. That's something that I lived in a small town in Wisconsin, had an upstairs rental, which was how I was able to purchase my first home. That was a little bit before Airbnb took off, and looking back, I would have loved to have that opportunity. Probably wouldn't have had people stomping above me every day, maybe on the weekends, but would have been able to make the same amount. The other aspect is when I travel personally for leisure, I definitely look for Airbnbs. I think it gives you a more, as others have mentioned, intimate experience in the community. Amherst is a beautiful place. I happen to bartend at a really cool spot and serve a number of guests that are coming to Amherst and are taking note, which I think is a really positive thing for our area. The restaurant where I work has been really successful. We've been there for 6 months, and I would love to see more establishments, which I think having short-term rentals in the town will support those as well. So that's kind of my perspective. The community is extremely important, and I think that the special use permit aspect will help to preserve that and not end up with three short terms around the place.
Yeah.
But it's good to see you.
You too.
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
All right. Next, Ms. McGuffin had some emails sent in to be read into the record, so.
The first one is from Nate Downey. He is a resident of the town of Amherst at 285 North Main Street. He is hoping he's a property owner. He is against this type of action. There has not been any clear reason given why this action must take place other than some residents don't like Airbnb. And he's speaking in favor, is against the action to not allow Airbnb. Sorry, I should let that part first. Let me start over. I am a resident of Amherst. It has come to my attention that there will be a vote of the town council or some other deliberative body to disallow the continuance of Airbnb properties in town. As a property owner, I'm against this type of action. First, there's not been any clear reason given as to why this action must take place, other than some residents don't like Airbnb. That is a childish reason for anything. Second, if there has ever been a clear violation of property rights, I haven't seen it. Airbnb homes are kept well and therefore keep the property value of the neighborhood higher than they would be. There's no damage being done and no one being hurt by having this service. Third, my parents have used this service and plan on continuing to do so while they visit from out of state. Their Airbnb they stay in is much better kept than the hotels the town has to offer, and we all appreciate them staying within walking distance of our home when they stay. The next one is also a town resident. This email is to give my support of short-term rentals in specified residential districts in Amherst. I'm a property owner in the town of Amherst. My father's born and raised in Amherst and lived there for 97 years. I believe he would have been in support of the idea also, as he was supportive of promoting this town. Sincerely, Janet Eisman Abbott. The next one is Sherry Temple, 252 Grandview Drive. I'm writing to a voice in favor of allowing Airbnbs in the town of Amherst. My family uses this service multiple times per year. We have never had a bad experience with the services. Most properties are kept in top condition. As a homeowner, I would not have issues to have this type of property in my neighborhood. Also a town resident, Philip Komorowski. Just going to throw my two cents in the ring. I like the idea of Airbnb, but I fear affluent property owners abusing it to become Airbnb slumlords. I think everyone has an idea of what I mean by that. Make it permit-based, but keep the permit fee low and the qualifications lenient. However, consider limiting the number of total permits available to a single property owner or a company. Town resident Jimmy Lawrence. My wife and I have lived in the town for going on 7 years on Glenway. We would gladly support the movement to support more Airbnbs in the community. The notion that this will somehow be bad for Amherst is ridiculous. More revenue from tourists is always a good thing. This one is Susan A. Parks, an adjacent resident to it. We received a certified letter regarding the public hearing on 117 Pine Street. My husband plans on attending the meeting, but I will not be able to attend. I'm going to try to, if this one's long, so I'm going to try to find the pertinent portion. All the renters we have conversed with are nothing but kind, friendly, and complimentary of our town and surrounding area. They have been quite unrespectful of the property and neighbors. It's been very interesting talking to them and finding out why they have chosen Amherst to visit. There have been couples, families, weekend renters, etc. They've all stated that the house is much more appealing than a France hotel, where it provides privacy and yard space, and is very important to many. And she continues to write in support. A county resident, Julie and Brian Harrow, emailing on behalf of my husband and to voice our support for allowing Airbnb business to remain in beautiful Amherst. County resident, Tanner Amberger-Burkey? Sorry if I goofed that one up. I'm a resident of Amherst County and a former resident of the town of Amherst. I believe Airbnb should continue to be allowed in the town of Amherst. They bring a tremendous influx of people into our town to get to enjoy all the charm Amherst has to offer. Another county resident, Jesse and Renita Kupfer, so sorry, 373 Alcock Road. I'm emailing you in regards to the decision having Airbnbs in Amherst. For now, my husband and I have lived in Amherst for 6 years and we love the town. We also really enjoy the visitors that Airbnb brings to our small town. We don't personally own an Airbnb, but it's one of our dreams to provide short-term stays for traveling friends and bring more people to our beautiful town. Martha Shannonberger. I was not able to find out the address. Being a resident of the town of Amherst and Amherst County for 40 years, very much in favor of Airbnbs. We moved away in 2015 and were gone for 7 years. When we returned to Amherst for visits, we preferred to stay in the town in an Airbnb close to mountains, lake trails, and other options of the area instead of giving a small hotel room. We spent money in grocery stores, restaurants, and that added revenue to the town. Another county resident, Virginia Tomlin, 525 Mount Pleasant Road. Regarding the Amherst Airbnb, it is a very nice place to stay for a couple days or a week. We only have one hotel in the town of Amherst, so please bring some funds in. If people rent the home away from home at Airbnbs, they bring income into Amherst County. I hope y'all will see that this is a very good idea. They are becoming more and more popular all around the world. Another county resident, Rita Pettigrew, 558 Fairfield Road. Would like to give my approval to allow Airbnbs in Amherst County and is needed for out-of-town guests as there is only one motel available unless you stay in Lynchburg. And finally, Edie Ryder, county resident at 190 South Park Trail in Monroe, says, for the upcoming meeting, please be advised as a resident of Amherst County, I'm in favor of allowing Airbnbs to showcase our county and the town. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, that concludes for this public hearing. So I will close this one and then open the public hearing for the rezoning of 117 Pine Street. And so the person, would you like to, the floor is yours again, Ms. Warren.
I mean, if you have anything further to add, I felt like I gave my summary up for the first one, so if you have anything further to add.
I'll just add, I mean, I've had a lot of feedback from all kinds of guests. I had a Sweetbriar remote worker that came to town and rented it for a week and a half, letting me know that she wouldn't have been able to do that otherwise because of the Airbnb, she was able to bring her elderly mother that lives with her, as well as her elderly dog that she's caretaking for. There's countless situations like that. I have some tenants now that are living there where they're trying to find the perfect home in Amherst that they want to buy. Had a previous family rent it for several weeks when their closing got delayed over and over and over again, and otherwise they would have crammed their whole family and dogs into a hotel room, which isn't ideal. So I just say again, like, I understand the concerns, but also it's still community, it's still welcoming people, it's still creating that intimate environment.
Thank you. Okay, if nothing else, we'll close that one. And I will open the next one for the special use permit. I'm not going to call on you again. I think you've done a great job so far. But I do have one other person, a Julie Glover.
Hey there. So we are avid Airbnb users. We also are right next door to this one's Airbnb. We can't recommend it enough. We have met so many neat families that get to share our backyard, that we get to walk our dog with and talk with. It's such a joy to have them part of our community. And I think, like my husband and I, like I said, we've used a total of 15 Airbnbs over the last few years, have two more scheduled. People who come to these areas, they're not just passing through. They're really investing in our community. They want to be here. And Amherst is amazing. Who doesn't want to hang out here with our Amherst people and the things that we have, to go mountain biking, deer hiking, to just experience our community. So I'm definitely in favor of allowing a special use permit. Hopefully she doesn't have to rezone in a business zone. I love that it can stay residential, but definitely in favor of allowing that to move forward.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Close that public hearing. Now, council, what was like explained by Ms. McGuffin, we're going to take a few minutes. The same thing, if you will let me know you want to speak, I will call on you. We'll talk about the after we do that, we're going to take all this information home and we're going to chew on it. And then next month, we're going to vote on it. But we need to give Ms. Kemp and Ms. McGuffin a little direction of what we're leaning toward with this special needs or all of that, I think, correct? But I think we need to talk about it a little bit, but then we need the month to sit down and chew on it. That's what we need to do. So with that, council, let's go. I'll do mine last. I won't call myself to the end. So, or I can just start picking this week. Everybody gonna look. I'll just start picking people. You know, volunteer like school.
Well, I thank everyone for attending the meeting tonight to express their concerns, their desires, or what they do not like. I understand there were quite a few comments on Facebook, social media. However, the majority of the ones that commented are from the county, not the town. And the majority of the likes or the hearts were from the county, very few from the town. As many of you have spoken for these short-term rentals, there are many that have spoken to me personally against. You know, already in our subdivisions, our neighborhoods, subdivisions that are residential neighborhoods, you are already allowed to have, and correct me if I'm mistaken, you're already allowed to have a B&B as long as you're there. So that, if you need a place to stay and there's a B&B, you know, you are able to already participate in that. There are already short-term rentals downtown. We talk about Airbnb and VRBO. Those are trade names. And, you know, I could open one. I may not do background checks. I may not care how my property looks. That's what's concerning to some of my neighbors. Who's vetting the residents, the travelers, the guests? Who are doing the background checks, the fact checks? I have data that could contradict what you may think from the Airbnb website. We have to deal, these are quotes from other people. Off-street parking, sex trafficking, sales and transport of narcotics. Society is not what it used to be. Don't shoot the messenger. Look at what some of the places have turned into within the town that started off sort of nice and they're not any longer. I've been told that we should protect those who have an interest here in town, protecting their quality of life. Some people believe that it's better to have these Airbnbs, or I shouldn't say Airbnb because that's sort of trading, short-term rentals in rural areas. People are concerned about tax revenue versus quality of life. Our neighborhoods should not be turned into vacation rentals. Those are some of the things that I've heard from our community. And
Ms. Wheaton,
am I saying too much?
Yeah, because really this was going to be a council discussion. We're not preaching to the choir people.
No, I'm not preaching. I'm just delivering.
Yeah, but the message is for us to discuss.
So that's for the
table. For the people.
But those were so we've heard advantages, pros, and then I've also heard cons.
Okay. All right. There you go. All right. Would anybody else like to jump in, or I'll just call? Okay, Mr. Higginbotham.
I'm concerned about regulation. And I'm also wondering, were you representing a company?
No, there was a house. It started off, my husband's best friend, his grandmother's house was abandoned and empty. And so I said, well, you guys ought to get it listed. And I said, well, you know, if you want to take that on, go for it. So I did. I got it all landscaped and nice and quickly got it furnished. And 3 weeks later, had it up, and it was booked for the next year, every weekend, except for three. And then the house next door came available, and it had gone to bankruptcy and had been vacated and was awful and dog hair everywhere. And then we went in and we fixed that one all up. And so that was our experience. It just a little grease in us.
And I realized we open a public meeting for people to come to give their pros and cons or whatever. But I see tonight, I think I was concerned because
I don't want to base it, my decision on me, because I'm not here to represent me. I'm here to represent the town. And I see the people that came to the meeting that seem like most of them are for it. And I really wouldn't want to stop what the town wants. It's not hurting the town, but bring income into the town. But I want it to be regulated. That's what I'm
like. That's where the special use comes in.
Okay.
That's where that part comes in.
That's the only my concern.
All right. Yes, sir, Mr. Driscoll.
I am pro Airbnb. I follow a couple of travel blogs of people who specifically stay in Airbnbs. And they show, here's where we're staying. You know, we've got a nice refrigerator. You know, we've got this. And they say, we've met some of the neighbors, and they are really, really nice. I envision for Amherst that if there's an Airbnb in our neighborhood, that we meet the people who are at the Airbnb. Where are you from? Where are you going? You want a place to eat? Oh, yeah, sure. Briar Patch. Best place in town. Oh, wait a minute. It's Monday. Okay, try Vito's. You want something a little lighter? Well, okay. Best hamburger in town is filling station. I think that they are the wave of the future. We need to embrace it. The main thing that I am concerned about is a few years down the road, if we get somebody in here who is particularly energetic and wants to put a caboose in their front yard or a yurt, we were
going to
have to really control that.
Thank you. I have two left. Okay, Mr. Thompson.
I got a couple questions for this to start. Janice said something about having a B&B in town. Is that the case? I mean,
so currently the way our regulations are written, you can do what we classify as a bed and breakfast, which means you live on site.
Right.
So it may be going through the same kind of platform like VRBO or Airbnb or whatnot, but it's you're living on site. That still requires a special use permit in the residential district.
That would be the better question.
This proposal would actually bring short-term rentals where you don't live on site to the same process as what we have for bed and breakfast where you do.
Right. So just for point of clarification, if you apply for such a special use permit, then the next step would be the zoning change.
Yes, sir.
That would be the second. Yep. So that would be for all zoning districts, but the central business district, they can have Airbnb.
It still requires a special use permit the way we've got it written.
So you're just bringing this in line to have everybody ask for a special use permit.
It would be in the business districts and in the R1 and R2. It would be with special use permit. So there is still that ability to have that conversation about whether this is a correct location, whether there are additional parameters you want to put upon it. There's the ability to place conditions on it, but yes, this would be making it the same as how we regulate the bed and breakfast where someone lives there.
Right. So I've given a lot of thought to this. I've listened to folks. I haven't heard, and frankly, before this, nobody's told me that they're against Airbnbs in a person from that standpoint. And then fundamentally, I'd be probably with in favor of Airbnbs. However, the thing that I object to, I couldn't strenuously object more than changing B1 zoning out in a residence. I think that's terrible policy. I think that sets up, I don't even know that the homeowners know, it can mess up financing. When I see some real estate agents in the audience here, but if they go to sell it, they're not eligible for a VHDA loan, or they got to jump through something to get an FHA loan, which is about 20% of the loans that are out there. So I don't like that. I would rather see a bigger discussion about central business district or some of those where they can do that. And if you were asking me what I would want, that's what I want. And central business district, you don't have to get a permit. You can have that because you're in the central business district. But in the residence, I understand if the neighbors may have some objection to, or maybe they're not the best neighbor that they could find. that they have a voice in what they're doing there. But my big hiccup and my thing, so why I would vote against it, would be that the zoning change could be wrong. I think it's terrible. And I think it's, you know, only borderlines on the levels.
Yes, because I knew that you had said something about it.
So when the Wins came to me as the zoning administrator and asked about being able to do this, because of the way our ordinance is written, the only path for them was to apply for this business zoning. That's not their goal. It's not actually what I would recommend to the council, which is why we also advertised for the zoning ordinance amendment so they could be residential and get the special use permit. So if council wants to allow this, that is the preferred path. We just really put in that zoning change because that was the path that was actually open to them at the time.
Well, and
I agree with you, it's not the best path.
Right. And my comment about malevolence is changing that zoning. I'd rather see it, you know, have a special use permit. Folks can say what they want to say, but if it fits, they don't have to have their property changed to be one. And that's where I really have a problem on it. But that's where I wasn't clear in that. Thank you for bringing that up. But that's the problem I have.
Okay.
Yes,
so two things. I agree with Mr. Thompson in having B1. It's spot zoning, and I don't think that's a smart move for the government to be doing spot zoning in residential for B1. And secondly, nobody has mentioned, which I am quite concerned about, is that in this particular instance on 117 Pine Street, is we have a school in that district, right across the street. And so back to what Ms. Wheaton said about concerning of sex traffickers or whatever the negatives are, because they are out there, that we are looking at a school right across the street from this particular location.
Ms. Higma?
Under this special use permit, what regulations is it? I heard the lady said she required no parking. So what are the regulations and should we expect from the special use permit?
So when we do special use permit, what that offers is the council to tailor the regulations to the specifics of that case. So for example, if someone who lived near 117 Pine Street said their biggest concern was that there wasn't a lot of parking on the road, there could be a condition that was placed upon that they need to provide two off-street parking places, and they need to put a limit that people can only park in those parking places. If someone said they're concerned about noise, then you can have a stipulation that says quiet hours begin at 10 p.m. to 7 a.m. So you really, special use permit conditions need to be tailored that they respond to the specific item. You can't add a special use permit condition that doesn't actually apply to it, but you can really tailor it to the concerns of the trash issues, so noise, parking, some of those things that people might be concerned about that particular item. You know, one of the things that came up during a special use permit for a bed and breakfast in the town is we had a neighbor say that they had lived with an elderly parent, and they were very concerned about having dogs at the rental because of the way the yards were, and that there was no fence, and they didn't want to see, you know, somebody, and you know, their mother spent a lot of time outside, and were very concerned about that. And the person who was applying for that permit said, we're not allowing pets. Like, we would love you for those conditions, we're not allowing pets anyway. And so that special use permit really allows for you to have that conversation with the neighbors and determine if there's particular issues in their property.
So the neighbors do have input before they permit the issue.
It would still go through a zoning process, just like this special use permit did here. They would still have the neighbors are going to get that certified letter. You heard from one of the neighbors here who had gotten that letter. They're still going to have that sign be posted. They're going to have a public hearing with the planning commission, and again with the town council with the special use permit.
I would be all for the special permit, not rezoning like Mr. Thompson's, but I think the question would be great for the time.
get a vote, I do get to express my opinion. I think this is a good thing. I agree with Mr. Thompson, Mr. Higginbotham, Ms. Turner about the B1 thing, but my understanding was the way we were doing our public hearing was with the special use and everything, that wasn't coming into play. They're not going to have to go with B1 if we accept this zoning change. Am I correct? Yes. Mm-hmm. And then that's when we get into the special use things for all of them. Once that zoning is changed, then that's where we get into, and the prime example is the dogs. You know, you're in there and you don't want any dogs there. But I think it's good. I know some people that I guess you could classify as having seasonal Airbnbs. They are Liberty graduates, own some homes in Bedford, Forest area, and when it's graduation time for a week, they own a camping trailer, they go camping, and their house is an Airbnb for a week. He says it's great. He usually pays about 4 months of his mortgage payment. This is a young couple with a couple small young kids. And I can't say all, but I can say the ones that I know of, that you can tell which one is an Airbnb because the property looks good. I've had one near my house for, did you say 10 years? We see the neighbors every now and then. We see them when we're there. We wave at them. The biggest thing we had one night was there was a few people, they had a big cornhole game going. After they played the cornhole game, they left and went inside, but I can't say anything because it was just a cookout, you know. And it was before dark, so it wasn't bad. So I think it's on a lot of levels it could be good for the town. Financial, you know, for our tax base. And for individuals, young man, I'm sorry,
Jeremiah,
you're younger than I am. I'll call you young man, okay? You know, you're looking for something to help your family. I mean, and if you have the opportunity, I think that's a good thing. And it spurs that and spurs more people. So I've said my piece, and so now we will move on. If anybody would like to stay for the rest of this party, you're more than welcome. Or you may go. I'd like to thank everybody. This has been cool, right? This has been cool. It really has. So. Next, Senator, we've got Mr. Ware.
Everybody's leaving now, I'm coming in.
Yeah, I don't want to hear you.
Smart. Smart group of people. I got it.
Go ahead. A timer? Tim Ware, 405 Cherry Hill Road, Amherst, Virginia. I run Warehouse Antiques. I just came and wanted to thank those people who came out for the Amherst Night Biking Club. Open forum meeting we had. It was a good discussion. We had a really good speaker from Bedford. If anybody that didn't make it would like to talk to someone in the group or follow the conversation, people that did make it, speak with me or anyone else. I'd love to talk with any of the board or any of the people in the EDA. And just to highlight, the gentleman spoke from Beverly, he was head of Park and Rec. They talked about New London, you heard me speak of Industrial Park. The people that have business in the Industrial Park with the mountain bike trails around the Industrial Park, the people in the business considered a plus to have. It was a draw for them. The workers go on a walk, you know, during lunch break, blow some smoke, get some exercise, whatever. But he also mentioned just something to chew on. 2024, they have it in now, Frisbee Golf at the same New London Bike Trail. It's, I think he said something like, right, 16th in the country already. 2024, they're having the World Cup Frisbee Golf Championships at New London Industrial Park. Supposed to bring $4 billion with a B to that community of Bedford. And someone in the meeting raised their hand, how much does this cost? It's pennies on a dollar. The trails we put in, we all did manpower, volunteer. We had the town allowed us the property. the citizens donated money to basically bought tools, rakes, and axes and stuff like that. So I just wanted, like I say, to extend my invitation to anyone that did come or didn't come, if they would like to sit down and have a conversation with me or anybody in the group, I'd love to have it, and I would love to continue working with the town. Thank y'all very much.
Thank you.
God, good evening.
Okay, next item is the consent agenda. I will entertain a motion to accept the consent agenda as written, as presented. I'm sorry.
So moved.
A motion from Mr. Driscoll. May I have a second, please? Second from Mr. Higginbotham. Mr. Driscoll, any discussion? Mr. Higginbotham, any other council members? Call for a vote. Mr. Driscoll.
Aye.
Ms. Turner?
Aye.
Mr. Higginbotham? Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
And motion carried, 5-0-0. Correspondence and reports, all court reports are attached. We have our Robert E. Lee guy here again.
Actually, yes, sir, I do have something. We recently approved a grant that is going to be taking place in the schools. There's four localities, four districts in the Robert E. Lee Soil and Water Conservation District, Amherst, Campbell, Appomattox, and the city of Lynchburg. And we've approved a $500 grant for each locality through the schools for a conservation program at the school, like building something or having an outdoor classroom or something like that. So it's encouraging the schools to participate with one another going forward with that. So I wanted to bring it up because we have two schools in the town to let y'all know about it.
Thank you. Good. Yes, ma'am.
Question about the police report.
Can I ask
you something? Yeah. Sure. Can you please explain to me how you deploy Sky?
How we
deployment? So in your report, Sky was deployed.
Called out.
Yeah. So was that in the town? Because for me, a deployment is out, far. Is
no,
he being used just in the town, or is he being used outside of the town limits?
Once in the county and twice in the town?
Once in the county to assist, and then with
okay.
The...
I just didn't know what that... I mean, that could be...
Sorry.
It.
Well, the term is being on dog handling. Deploy means whenever you load that dog up.
You go.
You,
okay.
Yeah, even if it's around this corner, it's called a deploy.
Got
You're
it.
You're deploying your dog.
Thank okay. You.
Sure. Sorry.
All right. Next. I've got to get my spectacles here. Ms. McGuffin, the... And Mr. Williams, oh, righty there. It's an approval for new UV lights for the wastewater. Which one of you want to go first? You. I'll make that committee. Yes, Mr. Williams.
Well, I brought visual aid.
See, there we go.
So what we're talking about is our ultraviolet lights, which are germicidal radiation lighting. For years, when we first went to UV, we was using this type, which has what they call a pigtail. Everybody used it. When we got the new Trojan system, we got this type of lamp. It's got a proprietary clip on the end of it that only Trojan can see. So that's the difference why this one is over $400 per lamp, and this one's just over a little over $100. Now, we have found in one company that is selling this for roughly $120, which we're talking to. But we're going to ask to be able to get 45 of these, which is right at $19,000, because we need to change all of them now. It's been 2 years since we've done it. It's recommended to do it once a year. But if we can find out that we can get the cheaper set, that's where we're going to go, because then we can get 60 lamps for $6,000.
Ms. McGuff?
Yes, so, and as Mr. Williams so ably made clear to you, that this is a change that normally y'all would not even see this purchase, but because of the proprietary light fixture, this is gone over what we're allowed to purchase without bringing it to council. our goal is to use the cheaper item, but until we truly vetted that that's going to work with our system and it's not going to void a warranty or anything else, we're not going to get that one. So what we'd like to do is go ahead and get purchase approval for the $20,000 just to make sure that we can move forward with getting these replaced, and then if we can get the less expensive ones without causing any issue with the new UV system, then we'll do that. We will be bringing to you next month another kind of broader question on our purchasing policy, because the cost of chemicals and some other things have gone up so much. If we don't make a change to our purchasing policy, you're going to actually be seeing things like chemical invoices every month because of how much things have cost. But for right now, what staff is looking for is this approval from $20,000 for UV lights, unless we can get the other ones, and no new funds are required.
Okay, so I will entertain a motion to authorize staff to purchase the new UV, and if it's any cheaper, purchase the cheaper.
Motion.
Motion from Ms. Wheaton. We have a second, please.
Second.
Second from Mr. Driscoll. Ms. Wheaton, would you like to say anything?
Yes.
Mr. Driscoll, would you like to say anything? Okay. Anybody else?
I
got
a question. How long would it be before you know whether you can get the cheaper lights or not?
We ordered one of the cheaper ones, and it just hasn't come in yet. We've ordered just the one. So when it comes in and we can verify that it would fit, then we'll actually talk with the company and actually set up a purchase order with them.
I was just thinking, because if it's going to come in shortly, why don't we wait to see if it's going to work? Then we grant the money that necessary to get it.
Well, I mean, obviously, you know your staff is not going to spend money that we don't have to, but we're just trying to make sure that once we've got this worked out, that we can proceed and we don't need to come again.
Mr. Thompson, I think you can say that.
So you said $6,000 and you said $20,000. Which part
would the $6,000 would be if the less expensive light works.
Right.
And if we have to get the Trojan light, it is $19,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anybody
else?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you
talk to him. No, I was waiting. I had a question, but I got an answer, so
much. All right, fantastic. So with that, I will call for the vote, Ms. Sweet. Mr. Thompson.
I'm gonna vote for it.
Motion is carried 4-1-0. Next item is considering the revisions to the personnel policy.
Yes, sir. So this has just got a few items that have, one of them that has come up recently, and then since that came up, we brought along two changes that have kind of been percolating for a while. The one that just came up is we had a request from some of our staff members. For some reason, our personnel policy outlines how much our staff members that are, for example, in maintenance can spend on their work boots that the town will reimburse. Now, we don't do that, for example, like with the police department, they have like an overall budget for uniforms, and then they spend that budget. But for some reason, we have put this amount for like a boot allowance in the personnel policy. What we'd really like to do is just get rid of that specific number to allow us to kind of handle it in the same way we handle other uniform items and handle it through the budget process, so we're not dealing with these kind of very specific limitations. Along with that change, we brought the two items that have been percolating. One of them is to go from a per meal basis for travel to a per diem basis. Same amount of money, but just calculated differently. And then finally, this is just a cleanup based on state code. Our personnel policy actually lists a residency requirement for police officers to be within 5 miles of the town limit. That is actually not allowed by state code. By state code, the only people that you can have a residency requirement for are department directors or above.
So to have that for the overall department is not enabled by the state legislature. So we had just kind of had that on a list of something to change if we were ever noodling with the personnel policy. So with that, staff recommends these three changes, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
And I would like to say for the police department thing that, I mean, we can set a policy which I think would be wise for vehicle use. So like we can maintain the 5 miles. If you live outside of 5 miles of town, you can't take your vehicle apart. You have to park your vehicle. And I think that is a wise thing because we don't want somebody living in Wintergreen or up on Mount Pleasant somewhere or something like that, and they're taking their car home. So we can, if it comes to that, because we can't enforce the residency requirement, but we can say if, and actually we did that to the chief when he was hired. He said, you can't drive your car 5 miles out the town. So he chose a house 4.8 miles inside the town. But I mean, it was that. So I think that's a good way we can regulate it.
May I comment on it or drop it over?
You asked, so yes, we do.
I can understand if the officers live in Wintergreen, but 5 miles, I mean, there's not many places to buy 5 miles out of town. I mean, suppose they need to come back into town for a
car. I'm talking about the police car. And
why can't they just take the car home?
Well,
but not that.
Well, you've also got to, and look at it from my end, too. You've got a little wear and tear on the car if they're driving way far out of town. Or even, let's say you're driving to Lynchburg. Or if you're living in Lynchburg. Because I know in the past there's been a lot of police officers that live in Lynchburg that have applied here. And then when they found out that they couldn't drive their car to Lynchburg, they said it wasn't worth the trip.
Well, I was just thinking, within the county, maybe.
Well, then you got the Mount Pleasant thing. You got, you know, that's 40 miles up on top of the mountain.
We need them to have that fast car to get people.
Well, I mean, but I think, but see, that's not something we're discussing right now. I was just throwing that out because that may come at some point. So I wanted to plant that seed.
Maybe the staff would
go. And it would come something from staff. Staff would recommend.
Scan, may I ask a question?
Yes, ma'am.
I actually thought that was earlier.
I don't think we put
that in the policy. The way our policy is written right now is our policy actually says that there is a residency requirement that police officers live within 5 miles, and you're not allowed to do that by state code. So if you want to have something that says vehicle limitation, they can put that in the police policy.
So yeah, they can put
that. They can take care of that.
So it's nowhere, anywhere about a policy about the procedures of getting your car or having a car at.
No, it's just that you have to live within 5 miles. We have to take that out.
Okay, I understand.
Thank
you.
All right.
How do we know that the business plan?
The chief will inform us and show it in his personnel. That's how we know that. Because the chief will be tasked with that because that's. They have a separate SOP operating procedure for their accreditation and everything. He will put it in his policy, and then he can tell us at a monthly meeting, hey, I have this in there. This is it. If you'd like a copy, I'll see you. Okay?
Is there a motion you need to be amended?
No, because there was nothing in here about the car. I was just throwing it out.
I have the same question.
But, yeah, I was just throwing it out there. Mm-hmm. This is to do away with the residency, which is a violation. Which we don't want to be there. So, did we get a motion?
No.
I didn't think we did. We got to discuss them before we got the motion. Oh, well. All right. I'll accept a motion to consider these personnel policies. I got it from Ms. Wheaton. I have a second from Mr. Higginbotham. Ms. Wheaton, any further comment?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Higginbotham, any further comment? Okay, we've all commented out.
Is anybody? No, actually, Mr. Mayor, may I have a comment?
Yes, I was getting ready to say, okay.
I'm learning this new system, we're doing good.
Okay.
I actually would like for that to be in the personnel policy. Can that not be in the personnel policy?
Well, it would be in the police department's policy because they're the only ones that it applies to. They're the only ones that applies to it, and so it would be. That's the same thing with their clothing allowance and stuff. That's all separate. That's in their policy.
Okay.
You have a motion?
And the grader forced me to read the whole policy thing. So.
I apologize for that.
But as far as the performance, since we kind of went with this linear way of the town council, and there isn't a personnel committee, about the evaluation of the employees, when is that done?
She does the evaluations for all the employees. Their supervisors do. They come to the town manager. The town manager evaluates all, because we're not involved in day-to-day operations or any operations of the town.
Right.
So that's her bailiwick.
Right.
So that's how that's.
What about Ms. McGuffin, the treasurer, the attorney?
Well, okay, the only two that we would have would be the attorney and Ms. McGuffin.
I see.
And in the past, we tried to get it on a two-year cycle when we do our continuance of government.
Right.
But we moved, and it may sound funny, but really, the way we did it was in June, because the new year budget year started in July. So we did it in June because if we decided that she did such an outstanding job that maybe you wanted to give her a bonus or something like that, if you know, we could work that in at that time. So that's we can have that coming up. And what we did in the other times is everybody was given a list of questions for evaluation. You evaluate, then we compile it, and then we do it.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to see that, especially like renewing her contract. You know, it'd be nice to have an evaluation on an annual basis. I think that's appropriate.
Okay.
So for my contract or for Mrs. Kemp's contract?
Well, I'd say for all.
Well, like I said, in the past we did it every 2 years because of our continuation of government.
Right.
And that's what we did when we did the continuation of theirs, because they were in there.
I would like to keep it too. So that if he wants it one way and I want another, then can we put it to a vote?
At some point, yes, because that will have to come back, like these three came back, so we would have to bring that back in there. Okay, now for these three, can we, Ms. Wheaton? The policy changes.
Mr.
Thompson?
Aye.
Okay, motion is carried 500. Ms. McGuffin, set a public hearing for easement. For easement to be granted to App Power.
I skipped ahead of my brain. Okay, so Appalachian Power needs to run a power line to the lower wastewater treatment plant for the new centrifuge facility. Anytime council is giving away any part of your bundle of rights that you have on a piece of property, you have to hold a public hearing. So staff is asking for you to set a public hearing to grant the easement to Appalachian Power, and we are working with the power company and our engineer right now to get that plot drawn up.
I will entertain a motion to set a public hearing next month. Next month?
Yes, sir.
Make a motion. Ms. Wheaton? Mr. Thompson? Any comment? Any comment, sir? Any comment from anybody else? Okay, with that, vote. Mr. Driscoll?
Aye.
Turner?
Aye.
Mr. Higginbottom?
Aye.
Ms. Thompson?
Aye.
And Ms. Wheaton? 500. Ms. McGuffin?
The one I had skipped ahead to.
Yes,
staff
is
asking for you to set a public hearing for the revocation of section 20-87B in your code. This is the code section that governs two-hour parking. It explicitly lays out the locations for where you have the two-hour parking requirement. So based on what council had stated at your last meeting, you were going to look to remove that for a period of a year and evaluate how that went. So staff is just looking for you to revoke this section Obviously, at any point, you can add in the ability to do two-hour parking in the future if that's what council would like to do. So we just request a public hearing for next month.
Does that include the inoperable vehicle?
That was the next one.
Oh, I've got to move. Oh.
This is number four.
Oh, okay. See, I'll move forward, too.
They add up, right?
Okay.
Public hearings.
All right, so I will entertain a motion to set this public hearing for the parking. Have from Ms. Wheaton, have a second?
I'll second.
Have a second from Ms. Turner. Ms. Wheaton, any comments?
I have one question. Have you had any feedback from either the police officers or complaints about not having a two-hour?
No, and we really, once we looked at the code section, and I did just give a circle around and talk to the chief briefly about, you know, did they have any concerns or anything, and if we just are looking to remove that one code section, then once we had that removed, we would remove the two-hour parking signs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's good.
No comment. Okay. Anybody else have any comment? Vote, Mr. Driscoll?
Aye.
Ms. Turner?
Aye.
Mr. Mullen? Aye. Mr. Thompson? Aye. And Ms. Lee. Motion carried, 5-0-0. Inoperable vehicles, Ms. McGuffin.
Yes, sir. So the council had a little bit of a delay on this. We talked about this a few months ago about having a code section to address inoperable vehicles. The delay was so that we could go to the Planning Commission and have them have a public hearing on the change to the zoning ordinance. So there are two separate code sections that you're addressing here. One is in the kind of miscellaneous offenses part, which is just a council action, but the other was a change to the zoning ordinance, which required a Planning Commission public hearing first. Now we can bring both of those code sections to the council. These are the ones you've seen previously, and now we're just asking for you to set that public hearing for next month.
Okay, and a motion to set that public hearing?
I'll make that move.
Mr. Driscoll?
Second.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well,
first
I'll do it the other
second
way around. Yeah. Okay, Mr. Driscoll, anything to say? All right, any other discussion? Vote, Ms. Wheaton?
Aye.
Thompson?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, motion carried, 5-0-0. One more point. Okay.
Last but not least,
Ms. McGuffin.
This is set public hearings for 123 Lee Street. This is another short-term rental request. Again, this is one that we have set up with a rezoning to B1 with a special use permit. If council does amend the zoning ordinance, we can drop the rezoning to B1. This one is a little bit different in that it does have business zoning surrounding two sides of it. So The B part isn't quite as out of kilter as it is with the one on Pine Street, but I'm asking for you to go ahead and set the public hearing for both of those, and then we'll address where we end up once you make a decision next month.
Okay, so to get it right in my head, this public hearing we're going to advertise, but depending on the outcome of what came from our public hearing tonight, it's whether we'll hold that public hearing.
On the business part. You would still need a special use
permit. Right.
Yes,
okay,
sir.
Okay, gotcha.
All
right. I will entertain a motion to set this public hearing.
So moved.
Mr. Driscoll, may I have a second, please?
I'll
second. Second from Ms. Wheaton. Mr. Driscoll, any comments?
Nope.
Ms. Wheaton?
Aye.
I'll vote. Mr. Driscoll?
Aye.
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 And Ms. Wheaton?
Aye.
Okay. Motion carried, 5-0-0. Matters from staff. Ms.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Thompson?
I do. I'm a little confused on the personnel policy on fairness and where we're getting a little heavy, it looks like. We're writing personnel policy to fit the department rather than the town of Amherst employees.
That's what we were talking
I would about. Urge the council to take a look real close when that is talked about.
That's what we're trying to get rid of.
Okay.
Because currently, y'all were it's like plants and maintenance were being treated differently than the police, and I just want that.
It's hard for me to realize it's a personnel policy
right.
for the town of Amherst employees,
right.
And it's kind of lopsided.
It, right. It's
real lopsided.
Yeah. So that's the goal for getting that out of there.
I hope that didn't offend anybody or put me in a trap, but just felt like I needed to say it.
Okay. And are you referring to the boots and the equipment specifically?
No, sir, the whole thing.
Do you feel like this addressed your concern?
Some. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, Ms. Thompson. I just asked council to look at the whole
what some departments are getting and other departments are not. The fairness, we're all employees of the town of Amherst, the way I see it, and we all should be treated fairly.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Sure. Any more requests?
Yes, sir. Buddy? Okay.
No, sir.
Just wait.
No, sir.
Ms. Tracy? Ms.
Kidd? Just that I'm happy to entertain any questions you may have as you're chewing on the short-term rental, because it has come up in every jurisdiction I work in, and I've seen every iteration of how to do it, with the exception of Mr. Thompson, of changing a residential structure to a business, as you pointed out. So I'm happy to, if you want to talk or call, you know, I'm happy if you have questions that come up. It comes up in every jurisdiction.
And then, matter from council, Ms. Wheat.
No, but I'd like to thank Sarah, Mr. McGovern, and your staff for pulling all this together. I mean, it's a lot of stuff. And taking our calls, taking some questions. Thank you.
Mr. Thompson?
I have nothing.
Ms. Bingham?
Yes, I have a very serious request. I feel so slighted. I just want to bring to the attention of council that we haven't received a new captain about 4 months, 4 years, 5 years.
The sweatshirts?
Yeah. That's something we'll deal with on another level. All right, I got you.
I've been told there's a need for hoodies as well.
I think this Mr. Thompson may have displayed a hat.
They fix you up.
Ms. Turner?
Hoodie?
Well, let me say that when you make that order, don't order anything, please. Thank you.
Okay.
And I have nothing else to say.
Thank you, Mr. Crystal.
I'll take hers.
Okay. The only thing I really have is I would like to thank council tonight. I think we worked ourselves through a pretty big topic with a lot of people here. And I think we all handled it. It was handled professionally by everybody. The crowd and everybody. I think it was a very good meeting. Yes, ma'am. I was getting ready to. Hey, can you bring me that, please? I saw you come in and sign the paper. I'm glad you did stand up, though. No, but see, this is when I talk, and then I'm supposed to turn it over to citizens' comments anyway. Okay. Ms. Underwood?
May I stand right here? Or do you want me to walk?
Just go ahead, since I forgot you for a second. Go ahead.
Thank you for remembering having that. I have four things, very brief. The first is I asked the council to buy a box of donuts for the linemen because they've been doing amazing work with all the poles in the town. They're nice, they're fast, they're polite. So. Okay, you don't have to buy them donuts, but at least, you know, send them my gratitude. By the way, I live at 134 Second Street. Several months ago, Holden Chase had brought up the issue of bike racks, and I just wanted to remind you that is still something that some of us are hoping to see in town. Another request, I do run a business right here across from the warehouse and the former Episcopal store. And I was just thinking, how can we improve our town? And I used to have an umbrella on the street because it gets really hot in the morning. I'm beaten down. So I was like, maybe we could plant some trees downtown at some point, entertain that idea, because it will just make everything look more beautiful, definitely more beautiful. And you know, it's just pleasant to sit under a tree. And finally, and probably the most serious request that I have, or to bring to the attention, bring to your attention, is my business will be catering a lot to children, teenagers, mostly like middle school and up. And I do have children in the town, and you know, they're staying on the sidewalks and they're using the crosswalk button. But I am concerned because traffic comes through here so fast, they just come barreling back and forth. And I'm just asking if we could have more enforcement of the speed limits and things like that. And I don't, I usually don't want to do that, but I am actually legitimately concerned about kids being on the street, on the sidewalks, but especially that crossing by the red light. You know, the kids that I've had in around, you know, it's a very positive thing going on. I don't know if you noticed, but you know, the kids come around and they want to go into the warehouse because they have nothing else to do. They want to go. No offense to Mr. Ware, but you know, they go to these businesses and then, you know, they're like, I want that comic book. So they come to me and they say, Mom, give me $3. And I say, well, wash that window. And then they work, they get their $3. They go to Family Dollar, they go to Lou's Antiques, they go to Lady and Blade. So just, you know, I'm expecting more foot traffic, especially of younger folks in our community. And so, and one last thing, Ladle and Blade had a car hit, I guess, last night from somebody driving through on Main Street, and I don't know the details, but but there is just sort of this traffic thing that if you could please give it a reputation, don't speed through town because they did that. Thank you.
And with that, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion.
I'll second it.
Okay. Would y'all like to discuss it? We'll do this in joint. Everybody in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Let's go home.
Why is it not?